Good morning. Good morning. Did you guys have fun last night? Oh, you've got some creepy teeth still. We have a vampire in the children's message. Wow.
It's a vampire.
I know.
Steven.
We're so scared. Oh, it's just Steven. We're not scared anymore. All right. How are you guys doing today? You awake? All right. Couple things today. Does anybody know what holiday we celebrate in November? In November, what holiday do we celebrate? Thanksgiving. Right. I can't understand you with vampire teeth. So in November, we celebrate Thanksgiving. It's one day on a Thursday that we all have a big meal and we all talk about things we're thankful for, right? Hey, listen. The thing about Thanksgiving, though, is that in the Bible, we are told over and over and over again to give thanks every day because God is so good and he's been good to us in so many ways. And so this month at church, every week, we're going to give thanks to different people who help serve us and help us worship God and know God more. So today, we're going to give thanks to our praise band. Don't you guys love music and love singing every week? Yeah. These guys do an awesome job, and they give lots and lots of hours every week to help us worship God. And so, if you go back to your seat in a bit, when you look inside your bulletin, you'll find little cards like this, and all the adults have them too. And you can write a little note on the back to the praise band about why you're thankful for them, how they help you worship Jesus. And you can look at the adults around you and make sure they're doing it too, so you can tell them to do it. And in your folder, you also have a piece of paper. You can draw a picture for them, a gift for them, and give it to us at the end, and we'll get it to them. So we're going to be thankful every week. Second thing, anybody know what this is? What do you do with a magnifying glass? It makes you have a really big nose, really huge eye.
Really big mouth.
Magnifying glasses make things bigger, right? Today we're reading a verse in the Bible that tells us to magnify the name of the Lord. How do we magnify somebody's name? I know, it's kind of weird, huh? It means we make it bigger. It means that we tell everybody how great and how big God is, and so that his praise spreads all over the earth. And today we're going to talk about different ways as we live our life that we can make God's name really big together. Okay, so remember the magnifying glass, remember your cards, and you'll get an A+ for the day. Cool? All right. It's a really good grade. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for the life that they share in this church week in and week out. I thank you for their families that are raising them to love you. Father, I pray that as we walk through our lives this week, as they are with their friends, with their families, that they would make your name really, really big in all that they're doing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats and invite those taking our offering to come forward. And as they come, we take a moment to be mindful of the reasons that we are thankful to our God this week, of the many ways he has shown his kindness and his blessing to us. Joe, would you be willing to offer an offering prayer? Worship is truly a gift, and my heart is full this morning and every week by the gift of those who lead us in worship, by those standing behind me, by Diane and Michael in the sound booth, Martha, whenever she plays a beautiful piece for us, as we bring our hearts before the presence of God, sharing our praise. We truly are grateful this day. If you would open your scripture to Psalm 34 and hear these words. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Would you pray with me? Father God, our hearts truly are full of thanksgiving. Not just because it's November, but because you are a God who is good. A God whose blessings abound far more than our eyes can even see. Father, this day I give you thanks especially for those who give us the gift of music week in and week out. Thank you for their time spent here in this building when it's empty, besides them singing a song to you on our behalf and preparing to lead us in the same. Thank you for those behind the scenes, for Diane and Michael, as they help us engage through media and sound. Help us hear what it is you'd have us to hear. Thank you for the music that we hear from Martha, Father, that leads our hearts to your throne in prayer and in praise. Thank you for this community as we seek you together and encourage each other. And now as one, we turn to your word. Speak to us, we pray. Have your way among us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My first week in Washington, my parents and I went out to eat at a seafood restaurant, a good seafood restaurant, and I ordered the seafood pasta, and it came with all these things in shells that I had never really seen before or tasted before, and most of them were really good. And then I tried this little black one, the mussel, I don't know how you say it. I didn't like it. It was really gross. And so I tried to describe it to my parents, and I said, you know that smell that you get when you walk through the stockyards at the state fair? And I said, this kind of tastes like that smells. And they said, you mean like cow manure? I said, yeah, something like that. And I said, here, try some. And they gave me this crazy look. Why would we want to do that if it tastes like cow manure smells? Why do we do that? Anytime we taste something that is terrible, we immediately want someone else to taste it too. Try this. It tastes terrible. We're weird. And we do the exact same thing with stuff that's really, really good. Like the shrimp and grits that I had at Ken and Diane Ray's house this week. It was really good. I wish you all could have had some. It's not as fun to eat good food alone. And it's not as fulfilling to complain about bad food alone. There's something about tasting that throws somebody into the full experience. It's putting some flesh in the game, so to speak, literally. Tasting, it goes beyond just looking at something from a distance, just analyzing the facts, just taking it all in. Tasting, it takes this risk on entering in, being willing to be affected by the experience at hand, for better or for worse. With this in mind, we come to the heart of Psalm 34, where all people are invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist encourages the listeners not to just sing about God, not to just talk about God, but to actually put some flesh in the game, for better or for worse, to actually take a risk on letting God be Lord of all. It's kind of like that old 70s Alka-Seltzer commercial. Some of you maybe saw it in real life. I had to watch it on YouTube. And it's got this guy in this really busy diner, and he's clearly having some indigestion issues. And so the waiter in the diner hands him some Alka-Seltzer, and he says that famous line that now we hear all the time. He says, "Try it. You'll like it." Anybody seen that in real life? Yeah, a few of you? The psalm seems to be saying something kind of like that about serving our Lord. He says, give it a try. Take a look. Taste it. Maybe try it out for 30 days. Try prayer. Try praise. See for yourself that this faith that we practice, that it's good. Don't just study it. Don't just consider it. But actually maybe orient your entire life around knowing it, around knowing God. Give him a chance to change absolutely everything about you. Try it. I think you'll like it. And we wonder this morning, how can we be so sure? For those on the fence, even still today, for those who are brand new to these conversations of life and of faith, to those who have only ever really heard about Jesus, but have never really experienced anything that you could actually call a relationship with Jesus, how can you be so sure that he's really worth a try? And to those who have been here, maybe sat in the exact same pew for decades, who have even had seasons in life when you were fully consumed by God, when you were happy and eager to take real risk on following him, but now you've got too much to lose, a retirement fund, kids and grandkids who need you, how can you really be so sure that God is worth trusting with all you've got once again, even in this season of life? How can you really be convinced to play it just a little bit less safe, to step into the full experience of a life with God? How can you really believe that if we try it, that if we try just a little more surrender, just a little more trust in God, that we will indeed like the intimacy with God that follows? How can we trust God is worth it, worth even more of us than he's already got, that he's worth even the parts of us that he's never been able to have? How can we know that it's worth it? The rest of the psalm speaks right to that. Verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. My soul boasts in the Lord. And then he invites all the others to join his praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then verses 4 through 22 show just how they might lift up God's name together. And we find that it is by the power of testimony. By each one proclaiming how God indeed has been good to them, how they have tasted and how they have seen, how they did put some flesh in the game and it was worth it. The testimony starts with the psalmist, David perhaps, somebody else in this kingly role. And as we hear his testimony, we're invited all along to think about and give voice to our own story, our own testimony. This is how we magnify the Lord together. The psalmist first begins by giving a testimony to a God who has heard and seen him. There in verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He saw my seeking and responded to my wondering. Down in verse 6, this poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them. over and over in the psalm, we cry, God hears. Have you ever been struck by just how unreal it is that we serve a God who hears us? Because to be able to hear is to be alive. And it's not just to be alive, but it's also to be in proximity with the other. All throughout Scripture, when false gods are mocked, one of the first things the people of God say about those other gods is, you have eyes, but you do not see. And you have ears, but you do not hear. And our God, he doesn't really have eyes or ears per se, but he does indeed see. And he does indeed hear. Because he is close, offering the gift of relationship. It's completely unreal when you let that soak in for a bit. There are videos around on YouTube nowadays that help us try to grasp the vastness of this universe we live in. They'll often start with a picture of the United States, and in there we can kind of point to where we kind of are in that picture. And then it zooms out, and you've got the whole Earth. And then it zooms out, and you've got the solar system. And then it zooms out, you've got the whole galaxy. And then it keeps going on and on and on until even our galaxy is just this tiny, tiny speck on this big black screen. Until we begin to realize that I'm just this tiny, tiny speck in time and in space. Sometimes when I begin to think that I'm really something, I'll look up one of these videos just to gain some perspective. And this big old universe, we are but specks, and yet, we have a God who hears us, and yet, no matter how very small and insignificant we may seem, the Lord of all sees us, knows the number of hairs on our head, knows a word on our lips even before we speak it, knows our rising and our lying down, knows even more about us than the people who live in our own homes know about us. The God of the universe, the God of every creature, great and small, knows you intimately and fully and loves you enough to listen to your every word. Let's just let that soak in for a second. And as we do, how can we help but not magnify our God together? Have you ever heard of the first name that God receives in the entire Bible? It's early on. It's in Genesis chapter 16, to be exact. It's found in the midst of this crazy story of Abraham and Sarah. And they received this promise from God that they're going to be parents of many children. But there's a problem, and that's that Sarah is barren. And so she decides, since the covenant isn't really playing out as expected, to help God out with his plan. And she tells Abraham, we have this slave girl from Egypt named Hagar. Abraham, go and try to carry on the covenant with her instead of me. And so he does. Hagar becomes pregnant. And immediately Sarah begins to despise her, the one who put this plan into action. The Bible can be really messy sometimes, guys. Just is. Sarah decides to deal harshly with Hagar. And she sends her out away from their home. And so now she's completely on her own, a slave girl. No family to care for her, no provisions. She's pregnant, completely alone. Where does she have to go? Who does she have to turn to? You can be sure that no one is out there looking for her. No one is bothered in the least by her fate. And so Hagar heads out to the wilderness to prepare to die. Genesis 16 doesn't play out quite as expected. Out of nowhere, it says, an angel of the Lord found Hagar by a spring in the wilderness. And this angel began to talk to her. He asked her why she was there and where she was going. And after their exchange, Hagar looks at this angel and she gives a name to the Lord. And she says, "My Lord is called El Roy." That means in Hebrew, "the God who sees." She says, "For I have seen him and I have lived." The first person to name God in all of the Bible is a slave girl pushed out. No one in the world going out of their way to find her. It's a slave girl found by God, heard by God. Not heard by anyone else, but heard by her God. The first name, our Lord, allows to be assigned to him. El Roy, the God who sees. That's significant. No matter how overwhelmed we may feel this day, no matter how very, very small, may this truth soak deep into your hearts. You have a God who finds you. You have a God who hears you. You have a God who always, always sees you. And as we remember that truth, may we magnify our Lord together. When teenagers complain about their parents, which happens quite often, the most common thing that they will say is, "They don't listen to me." And the same is true when parents complain about their teenagers. When couples struggle, how often is the core of their complaint something about not feeling heard by the other? It seems that deep within us is this need for someone to love us enough to simply listen to us, to simply be with us, to simply see us and sit with us. And Hagar meets a God who sees her and sits with her in her longings. And the psalmist in Psalm 34, he ran smack dab into this same God. Over and over, "He heard me, he saw me, he heard me, he saw me." Our God, he sees us, he hears us. And when our hearts cry out, there is no one closer to us than our God and our God alone. So to the God of Hagar, to the God of David, to the God who sees me and to the God who hears you, let us magnify his name together. And the testimony goes on. Not only does the psalmist praise God who has heard him and seen him, but he praises a God who moves in response to what he hears and what he sees from his people. There in verse 4, he says, "The Lord delivered me from all my fears." Verse 6, "The poor soul was saved from every trouble." Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord sets up camp around those who fear him." Don't you love that image? The angel of the Lord setting up camp around his people. Verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." So the psalmist says, let us magnify the Lord who not only sees and hears his people from somewhere on his heavenly throne above, though that would be reason enough to praise the Lord. He says, but let's praise the Lord who is actually on the move, who's busy and active, moving toward the broken, even setting up camp in their midst, moving in front of the embattled, preparing a way for victory in the face of terrifying odds. Let us exalt the Lord who moves behind the weary, close enough to catch them if they fall, a strong tower to lean on when their knees begin to give out. This God who moves within and behind and before and around, who never leaves his people alone, who acts on their behalf so they will never lack any good thing. Let us magnify that Lord together. The God who moves near to the brokenhearted. He's the one who met Martha and Mary at the tomb of their brother Lazarus and who wept right there with them in the midst of the one they had lost. This God who goes before those who are facing battle, This is the God Elisha met in 2 Kings chapter 6 when he and his servant were surrounded by the enemy, far outnumbered. And he prayed that his servant might see the presence of God as he saw it. And his eyes were open to see chariots and soldiers of God far outnumbering the enemy. And this God who goes behind us, holding us up, he's the God Jeremiah knew all too well when his life as a prophet led him to utter exhaustion and isolation. If you begin to read Jeremiah, so many times he just is done. He's done speaking up for God. And each time he says, "I quit," we find he simply cannot keep silent. Because God just kept on moving, kept giving him strength in his weakness, kept giving him words in his doubt. And on one especially hard day, Jeremiah cries out, "If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there's something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Yes, to the God of Mary and Martha, to the God of Elisha and his servant, to the God of Jeremiah and the psalmist, to the God who not only sees us and hears us, but who moves all around us. Let us magnify this God and exalt his name together forever. Because our God is on the move. In our very lives, he is on the move. May we praise his holy name. That's their testimony. And the psalmist all throughout is asking, so what is ours? What is yours? How will we join the song and make great God's name together as a community of faith? Here's just a tiny bit of mine. A little girl raised in a broken home with grandparents whose love for each other and love for God offered stability amidst constant change. It just so happened that this grandpa was a preacher. And as a little bitty kid, the God of the universe began to meet six-year-old me in my grandpa's church on Sunday mornings as I watched him preach and care for his people. And this God began forming within me a deep love for him and a deep love for his church. Even when things at home were falling apart, there was a love much deeper. I walked the streets of Mexico as a sophomore in high school. I went there on a spring break mission trip to tell people about Jesus. Little did I know the Mexican church would actually be teaching me about our Lord. As we passed out snacks to the children each day, children who were barefoot, living in true poverty, some living on the streets, it never failed that a child would take their snack and turn around and offer it back to us first. Growing up in suburbia, I had never seen such poverty, and I had never seen such generosity. God spoke into my heart that week as a 16-year-old and began to say, "Jamie, there's another way to live in this earth, a way that bigger than what you have seen and what you have known. There's more to life than lucrative careers and white picket fences." There's a way of love and of sacrifice and of generosity. There's a way of offering yourself to others, and I'm calling you to that way. Through college and up until 3 years ago, the cry that God most often heard from my heart was a plea for a spouse, afraid of walking through this world alone. In many of those months and years, I was not so convinced that God really heard me in this request because nothing was changing and I wasn't getting any younger. And 3 years ago, with the call to pastor, God revealed to me that even more than desiring a spouse, he had put in me a desire to be faithful to his call to care for his people through serving his church. in this gritty, intimate night of prayer, God and I wrestling out our desires together. God spoke into my heart, and he assured me that I could trust him with my heart, that he wasn't a God who just kept things from me just for the sake of it, but that he was a God who wanted to give me what he most wanted in me, and that was a life invested in loving his people. And he said that that life will never be a life lived alone. All those years of begging God to hear, found out he was right there listening all the while, hearing my cries and moving me towards something much bigger than marriage. He was moving me toward his bride. And up until now, that has been more than enough. Marriage may come, and that would be okay. But regardless, my God who hears also moves. And he has heard me, and he has moved to be near me. And I can truly say with all my heart that I am fully satisfied in him. Most recently, in coming here, I continue to find the evidences of a God who has gone before and behind. They just keep coming. When friends from Texas call me each week and they ask how it's going, I often find myself saying the same thing. I say, God is moving. We all sense it. We're catching glimpses of it. I say, it's exciting. There's something going on among us, and it's bigger than any of us. And I'll tell them, I'll say, I sometimes feel like there was this parade just about to start, and God just let me come in and jump right into it. Our God moves, and he's moving in this place. He has been for quite some time. Do you sense it? Let us magnify our Lord together and exalt his holy name. And I wonder, what is it for you? How do you join the chorus? What's your testimony of a God who is good? Of a God who sees, of a God who hears, of a God who moves toward his people? The psalmist invites us from the very beginning to tell these stories together, to exalt God's name as one. Several of you were gracious enough to share tidbits of your story with me this week. And throughout the week, you're going to get to hear some of these stories. Keep your eyes open. Read your email. It's always a good idea. You'll hear stories like that from Terry Allison. She said she encountered the God who is near to the broken in a psychic ward of Harrison Hospital in 1984. In the midst of a nervous breakdown, she gave God full permission to have her life and change her however he wanted. Terry says, God heard my cries, and he's been in the work of transforming me ever since. Let us exalt his name together. Zeta Goucher recalls the God who hears and moves. She says, when my husband had a stroke and had been put on a feeding tube, I was in a muddle, not knowing if or how I could make the decision to take him off the feeding tube. When I didn't know where to turn, I stood in my living room and yelled, help. I heard, you will know, and immediately felt a sense of peace. She says, God clearly showed me which decision to make and when to make it. In such a difficult time, the Lord was my strength, and he was with me. The stories go on, and they're all over this room. You are in this place this morning, and you have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Might you hear our hearts and know that he is indeed so very good. Hear of the God who knows his people, who sees their tears, who listens to their cries, and who draws near when they seek him, of the God who gives life and who gives salvation. Won't you take a risk on following this God? I mean, what do you really have to lose? Enough just taking in some facts about God from a distance. Won't you just jump in once and for all? Trust Him. Follow Him. Taste and see that He is good. That He's worth your life, your passions, your desires, your all. Take a risk on God. Try Him. I think you'll like Him. And if you do know Him, if you have tasted and seen of His goodness, won't you tell us your story? Tell us about a time you cried out and He heard you. Tell us about a time you felt invisible and He saw you. Tell us about a time you were afraid and our God went before you. A time you were weary and our God held you up. A time you were broken and you found that your God was nearer than your next breath. Tell us and listen as we tell you. We've got a God who hears. We've got a God who sees. We've got a God who moves. Help us not miss Him together. Let us magnify our Lord together. Let us exalt His holy name. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Until all in this place, until all in this community have tasted and seen, let us magnify our Lord together. Pray with me. Father God, as we pray, we know that You hear us. As we seek You, we know that You've already found us. Thank You, God, for being so very good to us. Father, for hearts right on the edge of belief, I pray for courage to taste and see. For hearts that have grown a bit complacent, a bit indifferent, I pray for renewal that invites us once again to taste and to see. And Father, for hearts aflame with passion for You, help those speak aloud of what You have done, magnifying Your name together. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite those who will be helping with the Lord's Supper to come forward. And how appropriate that on a day that invites us to taste and see, that we come to the table and we literally taste of this life given for us. We hold in our hands the bread and the cup, and we literally see a body broken and poured out so that we may live. I believe God is in this all. On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body broken for you." He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me. As you hold this bread, see it. And in a moment, taste it. And know that this indeed is life. For it is our Savior broken for us." Take and eat. In the same way, He took the cup, and pouring it, He said, "This is the blood of a new covenant poured out for you. That as often as you drink of this cup, you proclaim My coming until I come again." As we drink, let us proclaim that our God is here among us and that He is coming again. Lamb of God. Sweet Lamb of God. Take and drink. Would you pray with me? Father, we have tasted and we have seen. And so together we magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Make your name great. May the words, the stories of what you have done be fresh on our lips. Continue to show us how you're moving all around us. And may that give us courage and strength and love for the facing of these days. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.